Finally, somebody gets some more of their canon revealed. He's literally revealing canon.
There are no balls in Westworld. There are no swords in Westworld. But there's certainly a lot of gore. Later on, you'll have a nightmare filled with killer cowboy robots. But for now, it's time for boars, gore, and swords.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
This is Boars, Gore, and Swords.
The third best Westworld podcast on the internet, and let me tell you, there's a lot of fucking Westworld podcasts on the internet.
There's quite a few of them, and very few of them are us.
Yeah, we are only one of them, and quite frankly, the best of them all. The rest of them are just fucking assholes, pieces of shit. They're probably robots.
Most of the other podcasts are hosts that are used to distract from the fact that there's clearly a two-timeline theory. That's right, I'm on board!
Oh, you're going two timelines?
I'm going full two timelines, but we can get into that in a second. Those are words. Put them in an order that makes sense. Go ahead and introduce our guest for today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome back one of my best and oldest friends, and I mean that in terms of age. Ladies and gentlemen, Lisa Correo.
Hello?
Is that your Anthony Hopkins impression?
Yes, I'm not good at impressions. Hello, Governor!
Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much. People were so excited about having you on the last time that upwards of half a dozen people commented on it.
Oh, man. That's pretty cool.
So we're so excited to have you back again.
Oh, glad to be back.
So what is your engagement with Westworld up to this point? Did you watch it all yesterday?
Actually, I wanted to ask because I do believe she was, 15 years old when the first Westworld movie came out?
I don't know. When did it come out?
1976.
I was 32. And boy, did I love it. I actually never saw the movie. And or there was a show and a movie, right?
There was a very short-lived show called Beyond Westworld.
Oh, no.
Yeah. 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 It was basically them hunting robots outside of the park.
Oh, actually, I'm back on board.
Yeah, I really want to see both. And but no, I had only seen the first episode, and Ivan was like, "Hey, come on the podcast." So I watched the rest this weekend.
Oh wow! And, you mean the rest world?
The rest world. Yeah. So I'm all caught up, guys.
So where are you? So if you powered through all of that, you haven't had all of the free time that we have had between episodes to fill it with absurd and terrible theories that diminish our value in life.
Well, it's basically this. Well, having sex with robots is great.
Yes.
Like we would all figure.
All agree.
Yeah. And that's it. Okay.
That's the only lesson I've learned. Frankly, this all sounds like it was developed by the Fleshlight Company for their next product.
Yeah. It's Fleshlight, you know, like 3.0.
Listen, if Fleshlight comes out with a Tandy Newton model, I'm on board.
In fact, if we could go back in time and like if they do a flashback episode of Westworld, like the first version of the park is just Fleshlights.
Like, it's just a Fleshlight with a 10-gallon hat on it.
And like horses on wheels.
The first Westworld was just the world's most popular glory hole.
How right, to partner.
So we're deep in it already. But one thing I want to talk about, because up till last week's episode, about an hour after we finished podcasting, I was against the multiple timeline theory, which is that William is the Man in Black, that essentially we're seeing his backstory for the Man in Black. I saw Lisa's eyebrows explode when I said that.
And I keep saying Ed Harris 30 years ago was Ed Harris in the Abyss. He's always looked like Ed Harris.
This is a fictional universe. We don't have to have all CGI unaged characters. But just to talk about it briefly, because what I believe is happening, if you remember in the, I believe it was the third episode, we had Dolores go through the series of things where she, first of all, was dragged off by the other host into the barn. Mm-hmm. And then she had a flashback to when the Man in Black came in, and then she shot the host when she had that memory. And then in the very next scene, we see her standing in front of the house, and she remembers being shot. And then we cut to the present, and we have her realizing that she's remembered that, and so she runs off and is safe. And I think they established that to show you several times further in Dolores' timeline We see her in the present, and then it's all just weird camera angles to throw you off. It'll show, for example, the one where she wakes up with the gun, and she looks down at the gun, and it cuts to a different camera angle, and it shows her look over in Williams there. And he's not reacting like she's holding a gun, because I'm pretty sure she is not. I think we're seeing two different timelines in that moment. And a lot of people are like, well, if they're doing that, they're just dicks doing manipulative editing to screw with us. And I'm like, yes, have you seen The Prestige? Have you seen Memento? That's all he does.
Classic Nolan.
That's classic Nolan. Yeah, so I'm completely bought in. I think yes, they're doing a lot of stuff deliberately to trick us into believing that that is not the case. The biggest sticking point is Bernard. Maybe the same. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm on that board yet, but he's, basically he would need to be a host and possibly Arnold for this theory to work.
All right.
And I'm not sure if I bought in there.
Here's my theory. 5 Doloreses, 2 Man in Blacks, 3 Bernards, 15 Lady Creeps.
I'm on board.
Well, there's definitely multiple Bernards because every time you see him, his hairline is a little bit different. Like, that little thing in the front is either pointy like Dracula, or it's wispy one day, or really jet black another day.
Thank you. You're the only other person who is commenting on Bernard's hairline, and it has gone woefully unmentioned. It
hairline
is a beautiful.
Theory.
I feel like you could just show his hairline zoomed in, and you'd know just as much about the character. Like, it's such an informative. Just like, he put some effort into it. There's gel up there, but it's also just really gross. Like, there's no repairing that hair at this point. He should go completely bald, but he hasn't committed to it yet.
Yes, so, because sometimes it's kind of transparent, and then other times, clearly, they painted it in.
Yeah.
Different shapes.
What if his entire hairline is CGI?
I hope at one point we cut to him, and he's in a chair with, like, a barber bib over him, and they're holding a cardboard up and just, like, spraying his hair in.
I can't wait until we see the behind-the-scenes photo of Jeffrey Wright with a green bald cap on.
All right, well, let's start getting into this episode, but first...
Actually, I wanted to ask the question that I ask of all of the guests, of whom we have only had 2 so far. Lisa, I actually know this already, but for the benefit of the listeners, how much video game experience do you have?
Oh, quite a bit, actually. More than the average female, I would guess. You know, out of the womb, I had an Atari. Mm-hmm. That's right, folks, the original Atari. And then after that, like, picked up various knockoffs, which I played all of them.
You picked up a Commodore 63?
Well, everything. Everything. Like, I would get them at thrift stores. Yeah. Like, people that were like, this is crappy, it's not Atari. I'd be like, I'll play that too, I don't care. And then,
Nice.
And then into adulthood, I got into stuff like all the Tomb Raiders and all other various weird stuff that's embarrassing to mention. But,
You do realize you are on a Game of Thrones podcast. There is really nothing you can say that would make you any more embarrassing than everything we've done so far up to this point.
Actual video game QA departments listen to our podcast.
This is truly a safe space.
The safest of spaces.
Like, I feel sad that I don't have enough time to play more video games.
Yes. No, that's today's literature.
Yes. It truly is.
Yeah.
All right. And are you ready?
Hit me.
Previously on Westworld.
We've got a big problem, and I'm not talking about robot dicks. Are you lost? Because if you go too far that way, there's an invisible wall and a dialogue box pops up telling you to go back to the play area. The narrative you're creating is a massive endeavor. It must be at least 12 megabytes. Have you finally made me a worthy adversary to have sex with? Count back from 3. I call it the real reverse cowgirl. And finally, it's time you and I had a chat for only $3.99 a minute. And that was previously on Westworld.
Which one was the phone sex one?
That was the last one when Tandy Newton is like, it's time you and I had a chat.
Gotcha. Yep. All right, so this episode is episode 6, season 1, The Tipping Point. It is written by Haley Gross and Jonathan Nolan. Directed by Frederick E.O. Toy. So new director for the season. Also first episode co-written by Haley Gross.
Who I believe is one of the story editors.
I'm sure that is possible.
Yeah. And we open up, and I'm just glad that somebody else downloaded the String Quartet Tribute to Radiohead album.
It's a very good album.
Yeah.
I feel like they're all just ripoffs of the original Metallica one. Yes, we get it. String quartets can play rock music and sound great.
This is Fake Plastic Trees, which is just a bit on the nose.
Yeah, we're in episode 6 and already interns are searching Spotify for fake to get new song title ideas.
And this is a 2 Radiohead episode.
It is a 2 Radiohead episode. We've also had Radiohead used for Maeve previously.
Mm-hmm.
No surprises. What was used for her before? We have her waking up and walks into the Mariposa. They have her fixing Clementine's hair, which mm-hmm. is an intimate detail. And Maeve takes the newcomer and gets herself killed.
Oh, yeah. And this guy is just a classic big, dumb piece of shit idiot.
Describe a classic big, dumb piece of shit idiot.
He, like, walks in, and he's like, I'm covered in blood, and I want to fuck a robot, blah. And then he gets completely emasculated by a sex robot because he's dumb.
And if you're a hooker, you know it's easy to get a John to kill you.
Yeah.
That is one of the easiest things to do as a hooker.
I mean, just as a woman, I know it's easy. Yeah. I can get Ivan to kill me right now.
It wouldn't take much. If she was like, hey, kill me, I'd be like, all right, do you want to be strangled or sliced?
I mean, That's a little bit too easy. You're like basically demanding consent at that point for murder. They don't talk about murder consent.
Here's what she does. She goes,
States.
Ivan, don't murder me. Wink.
That's not
exactly.
Work.
It's too easy.
And so she teleports back, and Felix is there. Felix and Sylvester, these two hosts, I would say, have a what do they call it? A like base acuity. They have some term for general intelligence. Theirs is down at 1.
Well, they're named after cartoon cats. So
yes,
you want a third guy to come in who's named Garfield?
he's just eating a plate of lasagna as he walks in.
We get what you're doing, Westworld.
I was thinking about that. So Sylvester the cat, Felix the cat. You're right. They are cartoon cats.
They're cartoon cats. Everybody's a cartoon cat.
God.
Oh, I can't wait until Heathcliff comes in.
Oh, they have to be hosts.
Oh, they have to be hosts. Here's the thing. He said he's a human.
Right.
We have to take him at his word.
God, have we learned any of the other guys' names? If another one is a cartoon cat. Oh no! They name it's like at companies where they like name all the offices cleverly along a theme. Like these are all musicals.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, why would they ever have human employees when they can easily build all of these robots?
Yes.
You know, with the humans, you have to like cover their insurance and like whatever, deal with the union and all that other stuff. You know, in this way, you just you got your robots working for you.
Yeah.
It's great.
And you can have sex with all of your employees and nobody's going to call HR.
That's right.
Well, that was my only argument against that, because I think that's a genius idea that HR should have employed years ago, is that I think if I was making my fake host employees, I would probably put their urge to like have sex with unconscious hosts down to 0. Like I would have taken that slider and I've been like, doot, 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 doot. A little bit too much of that going on, only for the cleanup.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh, it's got to be. Listen, if they're going through the trouble to make the horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to deal with PETA, you know, they're definitely making their employees. It has to be.
I would think so. So we and when she wakes up, she says, now then, like they're in mid conversation, which freaks me out every time she does that. We cut from there to Bernard and Elsie.
Oh, this whole conversation. When she was like, you've been here forever. I was like, he's a robot. He's a fucking robot.
It's the exact type of Nolan thing they'd slip in that totally makes sense in casual conversation because he has been at the company longer than she has. But then when you go through on the second, you realize he's literally been there since the dawn of time.
I feel like literally every character so far has made a joke about them being a robot.
And that's a good point. I mean, I guess I like, actually, they're aware that, of course, the viewer is going to be thinking that. Because it's 2016, we have seen other science fiction properties before. Like, you're not the first person to think of this shit. And so to just plant clues everywhere to throw you off the set, as opposed to pretending like nobody would have thought of that before, I think is a reasonable way to go about it.
Yeah, I just didn't like that big musical sequence where everybody was like, "We're all robots. We're all robots. Don't mind us. We're just some robots."
I of course have to mention everyone's favorite quote from the episode. Is the glass half full or half empty? The glass was built to the wrong specifications. Yeah, engineers, come on.
Such a fucking engineer e-card joke.
Love it. Yeah, I bet literally if he had taken off his overcoat, he would have had a shirt that said, "There are 10 types of people. Those who understand binary and those who don't."
Idiots.
And he'd be like, "Have you heard this one? This is an original joke I just heard of."
Can I just say, Jeffrey Wright, that voice is like fucking pure honey. I don't think that we have enough appreciation for how beautiful Jeffrey Wright's bassy voice is.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
If there was any voice I wanted to listen to for $3.99 a minute, it would be Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, you haven't called the Jeffrey Wright sex hotline yet?
Which is why, clearly, he, the actor, is also a robot.
Yes!
You think HBO's going to hire humans?
Right. I mean, once you've spent too much time watching and rewatching these episodes, it really does bleed into everything else. If I had mm-hmm. to pick one person who I'm sure is a host, it would definitely be Mary on the Great British Bake Off. That's not a person. That's not how a human acts. I don't care that she's old and British. Like, that's still, like, that's an early rev. That's old Bill level host.
And, you know, Paul is definitely human because if he was in Westworld, he would just, like, poke all of the prostitutes.
It's like, you down too? He would only ever make it to the dressing room.
He doesn't get out of fuck world.
He has no idea there's more to the park. So Bernard so they're looking at the device that has been pulled from the wood chopper,
mm-hmm.
and they have figured out that it has the GPS data. It's been stored in the old way, so they need to go downstairs to the cool basement area to give us more backstory.
Yeah, and we get what is either a cool little Easter egg or proof that the Westworld movie is in continuity with the show. Yul Brynner's character is in the background of one of the shots.
Yeah, it's pretty clearly the gunslinger from the old movie.
Yeah.
Just a very generic cowboy with a black hat.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is one of those things where on the second viewing we'll be like, oh, it is in continuity. Or we'll just be like, oh, stupid Easter egg because this show is made for dumb nerds.
By the way, just one thing that a lot of people like to look over, but it's pretty clearly 30... or 35 years ago is about now-ish.
You just keep saying that,
yeah.
But I'm not exactly sure that's true. Even though I do feel now like the fucking Disney Hall of Presidents is like Westworld 0.5.
Yes.
I know, yes. When I go to the Hall of Presidents, the first thing I think is I'm going to have sex with all these guys.
Like, ugh, I can't wait to get some of that stovepipe ass.
Oh yeah, Woodrow Wilson, get over here.
But yeah, so they go downstairs and all that equipment, it's just like stuff you could go and buy at Fry's right now. That's what all of the old stuff was run on. And the computer boots up the old Westworld logo.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if you couldn't tell, the password is Westworld 1.
Was it
is
really?
It isn't! It isn't! No. I'm making a joke!
Oh my god, I would... I'd be so mad. I'd be so mad. There's a couple of little science fiction touches here. For example, the Bluetooth syncs incredibly fast. Like, there's no problem with pairing at all.
Every time they're like, we need to pair things up, and it happens immediately, I'm like, this truly is a future science fiction scenario.
Also, Siri worked on the first time. He didn't accidentally hold it too long and go like, Siri, and then ask his question. And we discover that not only he sends the information about the GPS stuff to Elsie, and then he discovers five more anomalies that he keeps to himself for the moment.
Oh, and he's like, look at that, science, wink.
Yes. That's the other t-shirt he's wearing, his binary t-shirt.
That's his mug.
Look at that, science.
Go from there to the town of Escalante.
And this is really unfair that they make the robots do the odd jobs of patching things up after the fucking humans roll through.
It's pretty great. So are they... Could a human walk through there at that point? And it would just look like, oh, these people are repairing their town that they love.
Yeah, it's like fucking what's out of place that there's just a robot cowboy spackling a wall.
Yeah. Spackle was very popular in the mid-19th century.
Just a robot with a cop gun in his holster.
I will say that, you know, it's got to be cheaper than robots to have, like, housekeepers, like old Latinas just cleaning and Windexing and just traumatized from all the blood that they're just cleaning up all the time.
There's just a bunch of old abuelas who like keep having to shoo away guys who keep trying to fuck them.
Ay, Dios mío.
Oh, no. Long story short, Ford's engineer says they'll have to destroy the town if they want to move the canyon any further. He says, we'll leave it as is.
Mm-hmm.
And sees an image of the maze under a game of dominoes.
Yeah. And then we get Anthony Hopkins, and he will never be satisfied with his Warhammer board. He has to keep changing things up.
So that Warhammer board is weird. So it's like, it's the church that's in Dolores' visions.
Mm-hmm.
That's presumably playing a part in his new storyline. We saw the spire of that church sort of burnt up into embers, I believe, at the end of the second episode, separate from the church, or buried. I don't know how that would work. And then I watched it last night, obviously watched it again this morning, and I had some extra time, so I did a little frame by frame on the book that he pulls out. Because I'm fucking that guy now. So he pulls out what I'm guessing is a notebook of Arnold's. Mm-hmm. And the first page has a map of what looks like to me Escalante. The next page has the main street. The page after that has Dolores, including a cross-section of Dolores showing her being mechanical on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it also shows Habernathy Ranch on that part. The last page has a host Vitruvian Man style with all its mechanical interior. And opposite that is the maze. And the maze is surrounded by mechanical host components, which is apparently the page Ford is looking for, though all he does is sort of smooth it over before we cut to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So after having watched that frame by frame and typed that out, I can say that I learned nothing. I wasted time.
I was hoping you were going to say, like, and then it said Arnold at the top and it was just a drawing of Gary Coleman. Like, oh, I should have paused it.
I would have liked that a lot. I mean, the only thing that could be interesting is the idea that Dolores is or was mechanical at one point.
Mm-hmm. We know that she's first generation.
That's the multiple Dolores theory.
Multiple Doloreses. I'm telling you, there's fucking like five of those motherfuckers.
Yeah, there's like a mechanical one. There's one that's just a hologram.
There's one that's just a bunch of popsicle sticks taped together. All the guys are like, damn, I can't wait to get myself a bit of that stick.
There's one that's just Bernard in a wig. Like, oh, that hairline keeps changing. It's blonde now.
I would love for someone to do fan art of the multiple Doloreses together.
And so the next scene, I missed this because I was drinking the first time I watched it, but Ford and Teddy are standing at the edge of the same graveyard where William Logan and Dolores began last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy gives his knowledge of the maze, which is, I don't know. I thought about writing that down and then I decided against it heartily.
Oh, no, no. I wrote down a little.
Go for it.
He says the maze is a sum of a man's parts. And I was like, oh, so it's the ending scene in an RPG where it shows you how all of the choices you made went. It's just going to be like little like still images with like, and the town of Pariah was burnt to the ground.
Yeah, the man in black's going to walk into a room and then just a canvas is going to unroll and it's going to show 76% chose to go with Teddy. 2% chose to not have sex with Dolores.
I can't wait until the neon sign pops up that says thank you for playing.
That's how you know a game is over.
There was some more stuff. I believe it was a man who kept getting killed, who fucking dragged himself out of death or whatever. And it's just fucking Arnold is a robot. He's in the maze.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. But again, fucking Nolans will be like, we're going to think that Arnold's a robot and he's in the maze. And we'll use that to put a small dolphin in there. I don't know what they're going to do. People keep coming at me and they're like, oh, so we've proven this now. And I'm like, no, this is what he wants us to think at this moment in time. This is all going to backfire. None of this is for anything. I can't stop myself from thinking about it. That's the only reason I'm still talking about it.
We are being gaslit by that Nolan so fucking hard.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So you think maybe Arnold faked his death and that was a robot?
No.
Killing himself?
He did die and he became a robot.
Oh.
His consciousness was uploaded into the robot.
So my Gary Coleman theory is completely off.
Gary Coleman's a robot too.
I mean, I just want Gary Coleman to come out and go, what you talking about, Wyatt? And then it's like, oh, that's the how it ends.
Fucking idiot. I can't believe I invited you to be on the
center of the maze.
I'm just saying, like, I haven't seen him in a while, so I'm genuinely curious. Like, what would it look like if you put Gary Coleman on stilts?
Just with a trench coat.
Yeah, just put that on an overlay with Bernard and just tell him. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe not. Seems reasonable.
It's reasonable.
By the way, no Dolores or William in this episode, or Logan in this episode.
No Dolores, William, or Logan this episode. Yeah. Apparently they were moving too fast along their storyline, so we had to give them an episode off. So one thing, we get another chance to solve this multiple timeline thing once and for all, because there's trouble in Pariah. The other people were in Pariah. If they had gone to Pariah, they would have crossed paths.
Yeah.
If it was all in the same time, they would have played a nice game of Pinochle, I'm going to say.
Oh, here's the thing, though. What if they go into a different instance of Pariah?
Oh, no.
Multiple instances.
How it's going to happen.
This show's got legs, kids. Like that's I could just see this in the pitch meeting. Like, listen, we could do multiple timelines. We could have, it's like endless.
Yeah. Oh no. Listen. I believe I've said this before, that the pitch meeting was basically Jonathan Nolan walking into a room being like, I'm going to fuck with everybody. And HBO being like, sold.
I feel like what sold HBO on it was like, well, because it's robots, they won't give us a lot of heat for all the rape.
Exactly. Listen, guys, we finally get the chance to get away with it like we've always wanted.
And HBO's like, we're listening.
Look, we had enough with all those Game of Thrones think pieces. We just want robots to get fucked. That's all.
They come in, they're like, how's the robot technology coming along? Ah, that was too hard. We're just using real people instead. This is going to go terribly. Teddy knows another way to get to Wyatt. And so they go off. We see Pariah in the background, much like we did last episode. Mm-hmm. We cut from there to Felix talking to Maeve. And Felix is explaining that we're all machines and that we have no free will.
Oh, this is great, because she was like, how do you know you're a human? And he's like, I just know I'm a human. It's like, you fucking robot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I'm a human and this will never come up again.
Honestly, I don't think I'm ever going to believe anybody who tells me they're a human from now on.
It did make me go, am I a robot?
100%. You have to, first of all, we all are, free will is an illusion.
Oh,
remember
Jesus,
that.
Jesus fucking Christ.
There's nothing separating these hosts from
Lisa,
you and I.
Lisa, do you believe in free will?
No.
God,
yeah.
Why am I the only one who believes in free will of all of the people who have done this fucking podcast? I'm not even that invested in the idea. I think free will is real, but it's dumb.
Ain't nothing's free, pal.
Yeah. I believe in a cash will at this. She asks how he knows. Yeah, there is no way. He should be, as soon as he leaves the scene, he should be questioning it more. Hopefully he gets to that point. The AI, I'm very excited because we're 30 years to the future. They could have ignored this, but the AI has much more processing power than humans.
Yeah.
Which obviously makes sense if you take today's technology and extrapolate it 30 years. So when they bump her intelligence all the way up to 20, she's going to be smarter than anyone in the park, and it's going to be the best.
Oh, she's going to fuck people up. I kept thinking that Dolores was going to be the one to start the robot revolution.
No.
I think it's fucking Tandy Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's started. Mm-hmm. The second they bumped her up to 20, And she was like, the two political party system is a lie.
She was like, the Electoral College is just a way for the elites to control the popular vote.
Yeah, that's actually the big concern. She might be too smart. She might think too big picture and focus less on like getting me and all of my friends out alive.
I like how when you suddenly become smart in an instant like that, you're just like, hello, boys. Mm.
That's when you become really English.
Hello?
Oi, governor, let me sweep your chimney. Can I?
The accent most associated with omniscient intelligence.
With bloody robots.
Let's have a vacation in Cornwall.
Do you have any idea where Cornwall is? Because I don't.
Yeah, I believe it is the southwest tip of England.
Oh.
I looked it up when they were like, yeah, we vacationed in Cornwall.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
You immediately Googled it.
I did. Didn't you? I think you saw me doing it. So, yeah.
By the way, one of my first questions. So, Maeve, who's awake, we had.
She woke.
This is one of those dumb inconsistencies.
She is truly the wokest robot.
Hello, woke. but so, when Dolores sees a photograph of another human being, she looks at it and she says, that doesn't look like anything to me. Mm-hmm. Maeve wakes up, sees a modern tablet, and is like, oh, this makes sense.
Exactly.
She's like, Unix, I know this.
Jurassic Park ass motherfucker. It's in continuity. Yep. Oh my God, it is. It's all Crichton continuity.
We'll get to it, but there was a second later where I was like, I swear to God, if Bernard gets out of this elevator and sees dinosaurs, I'm done.
Oh, I hope he doesn't end up like Sam Jackson. They just have that Jeffrey Wright arm hanging out of a fucking pipes.
At least more dignity than Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm. Also, all of these actresses deserve Emmys just for acting while nude.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know what? That's something with this show, like, it makes me not want to be an actress anymore. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm actually an actress with any credits.
Oh, listen. I don't know if any of our podcast listeners are Florida natives and have seen the... What the fuck is that stupid flea market you're the spokesperson
for? First of all, it's the Festival Flea Market Mall. It's not stupid, Ivan.
Listen, I don't think it's stupid because they've paid you.
They've employed me now for 7 years. They're wonderful.
Can you tell me, did they like try to call it the Festival Mall initially and nobody understood what it was?
It is called the Festival Flea Market Mall because it's indoors. So it is more like a mall.
Covered in fleas. Gotcha.
A lot of fleas. Also, that they can't help.
Covered in fleas. But, which weirdly, but, nobody will slap when they land on their face.
Oh my God, Lisa. Are you a robot?
Of course I am.
Because free will is illusion. They're biological androids, right, which is basically what we are.
We're all robots.
Thank you.
Done.
But my smart knob is turned way down.
So,
as you were saying about actresses?
Oh, yeah. It makes me not want to be, makes me not want to act and stuff. Because I'm like, man, those are the roles. Like, you have to sit on a stool naked. It can't even be, like, nice lighting naked.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And they definitely go out of their way to just be like, oh, look at this human body. Ugh.
Yeah. I like to imagine that they went through like several lighting choices and they're like, no, somebody go into a Walgreens, tear the lighting off of the roof and bring that back here. I want it green. Yeah. Green.
We want subway lighting in here.
Yeah.
I mean, that does explain why so many people are masturbating.
That's true.
And but my actually only point was when she looks at the modern tablet and doesn't freak out, having seen the episode two times through now, I think it's obvious that she's already been changed by Arnold to be less excited by those things.
Mm. Yeah, end of the episode, they're like, oh no, somebody already fucked with your shit and turned up your paranoia and all that up.
Right.
It's a big tell right there.
I just love when they show her own dialogue tree.
Yeah, that's a great moment.
Oh no, that was amazing because it was like, you can't possibly be saying that I am, you know everything that I'm going to fuck.
Oh, crap.
So Bernard finds Teresa, who's sitting in the dark in her office, which is a normal thinking situation. Mm-hmm. Also, she might be a host. Teresa breaks up with Bernard.
Oh, and he got dumped like it was a performance evaluation.
Yeah. He's like, you are not up to expectations. Yeah. We're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
Right, just on the other side of a desk. So sad.
And yeah, I like Bernard's performance. Showing emotion while being a character who shows so little emotion, mm-hmm. It just basically results to his like eyes darting around as he's like trying to process what's happening.
Yeah.
I thought it was a beautiful performance.
Yeah, that Jeffrey, something's got to be the fucking show that takes up all of the Emmy nominations after Game of Thrones goes off the air, and they're fucking gunning for it. That Jeffrey Wright is fucking going for outstanding lead actor in a drama for sure. Or would he be a supporting character, actor?
We'll see. We won't know until the show's over.
No, they're gonna fucking run this hard during Emmy season. Just watch.
There's definitely some great acting, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, Evan Rachel Wood, fucking, I mean, there's no way she doesn't get a nod.
And all the naked stuff, too. I mean, that can't be easy. You're so literally exposed. And then the people who have to talk to you have to look you in the eyes for real. Mm-hmm. And not for a split second, like, look down, like, what are those nipples? Oh! Like, how can you not?
There were so many takes that were ruined by guys looking down and going, "Auga!" Hummina, 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 hummina.
Hey, you're talking about the guys. I think it's the first episode. I'm gonna say it was supposed to be an outtake when Elsie just leaned in to kiss Evan Rachel Wood. Like she was just trying to make her break, and then they decided to add it to the character.
That's Shannon Woodward's thing. Every scene she ends up by kissing the other actor on the mouth.
I hate that scene so much because, first of all, it's all glass walls, and you know that there has to be security cameras everywhere, and she would have to, her character would have to know that.
Yeah. That's the thing. Everybody like keeps getting snuck up on in this completely open air glass walled place.
Yeah.
Everybody just keeps thinking that they can fuck robots without anybody knowing.
Yeah, I'm just going to mess with this robot in this glass room. No one will notice.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah. But that was also a weird detail because that has had no follow-up 6 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like by now she should have tried to fuck another robot.
Totally.
How do we know she hasn't?
Because it hasn't been on camera. That's all we're allowed to interpret in this world.
Nothing that happens off camera is valid.
No. So Felix is frantically trying to reboot Maeve, who basically Colonel panicked.
Yeah, he bricked Tandy Newton. He has to, like, stick a paperclip in her belly button now.
Thank you for choosing belly button.
Listen, I didn't want to go to any of the other holes.
And she wants to see upstairs, and Felix is the most easily manipulated person on the planet.
Oh, and it's like, nothing good has ever involved hosing down blood.
No. So, great scene.
Yeah.
Where he is walking behind her, pretending to be the world's most nervous butcher. I forget. What do we know what their positions are called?
I have no idea. I believe they've said it at some point, but who cares? There's fucking robot tits everywhere.
I think they're called goons.
They are classically goons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Goon 1, goon 2.
Mm-hmm.
So the nervous goon they go past some dead bodies who are just mm-hmm. splayed about, the tray of eyeballs that somebody's carrying to a Halloween party. I don't think those are real eyeballs.
Those were hors d'oeuvres.
Those are ice cubes they're going to drop in the punch.
Oh, yeah, the Radiohead song is a more orchestral version of Exit Music for a Film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Someone hit us up on Twitter suggesting that the bald man we are seeing being bald host we're seeing being brought to life is the same actor who played Ford's father bot. It wasn't immediately obvious to me. I'm not sure I buy that, but I couldn't find anything to back that up.
I don't buy it either because I do believe Ford's father was much older.
Yeah, he did look much older.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They could have put saran wrap on his head. I don't know what they do when they're brand new.
And plus, we all know you can only have one Scottish actor on any given show.
It is a rule. It is an American rule.
We won't know for sure until we see Ford's dad's penis. We can look at them side by side
and contrast.
Yeah.
Yes. Hopefully, we'll get that right at eye level. They are. So she sees the animals in the host rehearsing, and just as they're about to go downstairs, she sees the Westworld promo video running.
Which and this fucking it's like, A World of Adventure, Sex Adventure. Life Without Limits, Sex Limits.
The video shows Clementine and another woman in front of the Mariposa. It shows Maeve and her daughter running around a field, the same scene we've had her flashback to. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, Felix and Maeve discuss her previous builds.
Oof.
Which, yeah, that's a...
It's the number one rule of robots. You can't let robots care about each other or else they try to kill God. I've said it a million times, but it's so true.
Sylvester finally shows up. It was good to see him threatened.
I just like when he was like, what the fuck, ding dong? It's like, finally, yeah. Somebody talks like I do with my friends.
Yeah, I like the go in with the hard F word and then roll it back to ding dong. That's charming.
Also, Sylvester is just such a squirrely fucking pervert.
He is a squirrely pervert. He's also just like that guy who like works a shitty job who pretends he's in charge of everything, but mm-hmm. is in charge of absolutely nothing.
Mm.
And is the worst guy to hang out with because he just shits on your dreams all day, every day.
And I wish they gave him the speech impediment like Sylvester the cat.
Such a suffering succotash, you fucking ding dong.
I had forgotten that Felix was a cartoon cat. I cannot emphasize how much my mind is blown by that.
You forgot the amazing early 90s Felix film that is the craziest fucking bug fuck movie that anybody's ever made to let kids watch?
No, I don't know.
Oh, it's a crazy ass bug fuck movie. Felix goes to some weird fantasy world and rescues a princess, and it's like, what does this have to do with 1950s anthropomorphic fucking cats?
I don't remember that at all, but
it's a bug fuck movie.
I know that Felix the cat is a really old character.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's like from the 40s
or
something. Yeah,
it's like Felix the cat and Betty Boop used to fuck each other.
Yeah.
So what's the next butcher we meet? Are they going to be, what, Heathcliff?
Yeah, exactly. Heathcliff, Garfield, what are the cats from Cats?
Scratchy.
Mr. Mephistopheles.
Oh man, I hope that's true. We see Teresa on a Skype call, presumably with the board, and we're continuing
Chinese businessman.
We're continuing this era's obsession with China having taken over the world in the future.
Yeah. Oh yeah, listen, just next they're gonna have Warcraft World.
It's going to happen. She has the cigarette, which is how you know she's just spoken to the board. It's been established that that is her tell. Anytime she's had a cigarette, she's spoken to the board.
Mm-hmm.
We see Lee Sizemore at Mesa Gold. So Mesa Gold is the gym and spa type thing that is the decompression people for people leaving the park.
Yeah. And he is just, look, you're supposed to get drunk on sick days. That's why they're called sick, as in awesome.
Teresa approaches, says he's on sick leave. She needs Lee to start plugging holes in the narrative. Lee is doing a great modern drunk performance. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't a silly drunk performance. This is an actual drunk person in real life who's just disgusting and gross and annoying, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
The moment when he's going on about, like, truth in modern society, and he, in the middle of it, grabs his new margarita is one of my favorite moments in drunk ranting ever.
It's pretty good. Also, she's like, listen, you need to patch up this continuity. And it's like, I don't think anybody really cares about the continuity in Westworld.
I think they should have added at least one guest going, what happened to my storyline? It was going so well. And then it seems like something just dropped the ball. It just trailed off at the end. To give this narrative some urgency.
It's like one guest who's just like, how am I supposed to get my perps?
And then somebody walks up and they're like, eunuch.
Yeah,
it's only eunuchs who make it this far.
I want to see some more scenes where guests are getting refunds or like gift certificates to come back another time.
Yeah.
I want to see the Westworld customer service department.
What about the couple who was like in the middle of the massacre at the Mariposa in the first or second episode?
Yeah, and then fucking Milk Robot goes crazy on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, those people should definitely not be paying $40,000 a day. Like, maybe 20.
they get a complimentary stay at Mesa Gold.
It's like, yeah, you didn't get the experience you were looking for, but you'll get trauma that'll last a lifetime.
I think PTSD is the real gift of Westworld.
I think $40,000 a day sounds awfully cheap. First
of all, considering inflation, I feel like that's like the fucking like a Disney World ticket today.
That's what Disney costs now.
Yeah, like, exactly. And we're Florida residents.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have sex with those pirates in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
You can if you try.
Well,
listen, if you've got some charm and a few bottles of rum, you can make some shit happen.
Obviously, you've never been into Club 33.
I just think it sounds cheap to me. Like, there's hotel rooms now that cost more than that. Mm-hmm. So super rich people will put that out just for a swanky hotel room in Vegas,
and,
you know?
And to be fair, they do treat the service people like they are robots that they can fucking murder.
Also, do rich people really need to pay to just have sex with whoever they want? They're just like, hey, I'm rich.
That's what we brought up before. You can have sex with the robots before you go into Westworld, so why would anybody go into Westworld? You stay in fuck world. That's the real place to be.
Or you go to Thailand.
which originally Thailand does translate to fuck world.
You could also murder people there with no consequences.
And you get these wonderful ancient temples.
I tried to go once. All the storylines just fell apart.
Listen, Thailand has no continuity.
That was awful.
Lots of glitches.
We cut from there to Teddy and the Man in Black. We're overlooking sort of a classic military camp that's in front of the tunnel that you need to get into.
This is
the most Red Dead Redemption moment.
So classically an escort quest. And everybody who's been on an escort quest knows that escort dies like 5 fucking times before you get it right.
Yeah, and the Man in Black, who has played this game many a time, is like, listen, stop it! Stop it!
You can never get the AI to just stop and hang out while you clear out the enemies first.
Hero. Shut up! Stop it! Stay back here! I'm going to fix this!
I can't wait until Teddy glitches out and just walks into a wall and doesn't stop walking. The Man in Black has to just slowly push him out of the way.
I just want smoke to come out of one of the robots somewhere.
It's guarded by a couple dozen soldiers. They, of course, steal 2 of the soldiers' outfits.
Oh, this is so classic. These guys just happen to be our exact clothing sizes.
I didn't even try and look, but I felt like they were dressed a little bit awkwardly, so maybe that was part of it. They were trying to make that seem a little bit more realistic.
I wish it would have been more like Blazing Saddles, where it's like the KKK.
Where are all the white robots at?
A soldier recognizes Teddy Flood, points a gun at him, shoots Teddy shoots 2 of them, and then they get grabbed.
Yeah.
And apparently they're suggesting that Wyatt mutilated soldiers, and we get more of this story a little bit later.
And it's like, why does an amputee actor always have to play a guy who like just got his arms blown off?
Right.
It's like, why can't you just be somebody who has dealt with having his arm blown off and is just a person?
Yeah. That'd be nice.
If I was an amputee, I'd take the role, though.
Oh, absolutely. My God, amputee actors, you got to take whatever you can get.
Yeah, I've never said no to any roles. I said no to 1 role ever. You want to know what it was?
Of course I do.
I got this text.
First of all, that's already a bad sign. Very few reputable production places will send you a text.
This is real, and I'm sorry to go off on this very short tangent, but the text said, how do you feel about being thrown up on?
Lisa, it's a valid question. How do you feel about being thrown up on?
I feel really bad about it, Ivan.
Okay, it's a good thing you said no to that.
For me to say no to a role, it's got to be bad.
Listen, I don't know if you guys know this. Me and Lisa have very little dignity.
Very little.
Very little.
I was very curious what the person who is the spokesperson for the flea mall turned down.
I've done catheter commercials. Okay?
Oh, that commercial ran for a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Well, what was your big line?
No messy loop to spread.
Oh, that pleases me.
Oh.
God, the things people have to do for money. Capitalism is truly a nightmare.
We got to bring it back around to Westworld here. With...
Lisa, I don't know if you've ever actually listened to this podcast. We never have to bring it back to anything.
But I was thinking about that, though, with lube and the do you think that they just like have lube on them at all times? Just like in the holster?
Honestly, I was thinking about this, like, what did the robots jizz? Because you know the robots have to jizz.
It's that milk that they were pouring out of everybody.
Oh, no!
I guess that's
no wonder it was so thick.
It's almost literal genetic material.
Listen, it's protein.
Build strong bones.
Lee Sizemore sizes up the representative the board has sent.
Oh, this is
which we don't learn till later.
This is the I was almost angry at them for how obvious it was. The classic, like, a guy tries to fuck a lady and then finds out that she's his superior.
It could have been worse. It could have ended with him going, "He's right behind me, isn't he?"
By the way, you said that right as your dog walked behind you. It was very cute.
It's true.
Very cute.
That was adorable.
It was really adorable, I gotta say. The corporate representative, Tessa Thompson, who, if you watch Creed, she was the love interest in that, and she is going to be the love interest in Thor Ragnarok. That's all women get to be these days. Love interest or Hela, god of hell, Kate Blanchett.
I'd be more offended by being in a Marvel movie.
It was hilarious, though, because she wasn't right behind him. She was right in front of him, but for some reason he didn't see her till the camera focused on her.
That was great. That was great. That was such a fucking... This show is so stupid.
It was
sometimes.
Like, look who's here. Whoa!
Oh, no, my dick!
I did not notice her.
we'll get to that scene. We'll get to that scene.
Okay.
And again, doing some really great... Some, like, such good drunk acting that I think less of Lee Sizemore as a person after seeing it. Like, that's how good, like, I don't want him around women that I know. Like, that's how good that drunk acting was.
It was.
Oh, yeah. And when he was like, yes, I'm supposed to read desires and satiate them, I was like, he's a robot, also a hack writer.
Yeah, behavior programming the things to go off script. I think that'll come into play later.
Mm-hmm.
And then he steals a bottle of vodka because he's getting ready to make some decisions.
Oh, no. And that was great. I really love Teresa, like, when she really relayed an awesome burn through a third party. That's some power move shit. It was like, tortured artist only works for artists.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
It's a good line. We have Elsie approaching Bernard. And Elsie's saying that she is close to figuring out... who planted this thing in our wood chopper.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to accept their gratitude in the form of a title bump, a room upgrade, and an unlimited tab at the Mesa Bar.
I truly related to her because I was like, oh my God, she works for drink tickets too.
She really does. This is literally a company. You get your credits and you spend them at the company bar. She's basically working in the world's fanciest coal mine.
It's truly insidious.
And Teresa Cullen's going to be the first person to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, stands up for her. And she does not care because Elsie is a cold-hearted bitch and I love her.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this. She is the one character who I hope fucking does not get grisly murdered by a robot.
Yeah, well, we'll see if the beginning of the next episode starts with that.
Oof. True, true.
Yeah. We Bernard going out to check Sector 17. And this is the moment where I was worried he was going to find dinosaurs, especially in a Michael Crichton-inspired property where he's wandering through some trees to a clearing.
he just steps in a giant pile of Triceratops poop.
And he finds a house that feels very fairy tale. A man outside is picking up some wood. It feels like a very bad idea to enter the scary house uninvited.
Listen, this is the most exciting ride of all, a quaint Scottish family.
And it is a creepy scene in front of him, just a Scottish family having a vacation. Is any scene creepier?
No, my God. If they'd been wearing kilts, ooh.
They're eating haggis.
Oh, dear God. It's truly a nightmare.
He starts attacking the father... starts attacking Bernard. Ford has to stop him, who apparently was there the whole time.
That was the craziest fucking cut, when they just like turn the camera and he's just standing there like, yeah.
When you watch it through the second time, every time they showed Bernard before Ford cut in, they show a lot of space to the right of him. And then when Ford is there, he's like right fucking there.
Yeah.
So either they're trying to say something weird about the fact that like Bernard can't see Ford because he's a host, or literally Ford like sidestepped in next to him and was like, hey, Bernard.
Listen, Westworld needs its jump scares too.
Yeah, that was a very, very weird moment. And so there's a lot of theories. A bunch of people were very quick to be like, oh, the other boy is actually Bernard.
The kid was white.
First of all, yeah, the kid was white. Second of all, the kid's name was Tommy. And third of all, no.
Yeah. And this is I wish you had not fucking watched that extra fucking material.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that I'm going to bring
fucking, this is the thing about HBO and their promo department. You don't show shit from future episodes where there's reveals.
Yeah, I'm officially changing my policy on the show. I'm not talking about anything that's on the HBO site, because apparently they're just showing future episode spoilers on their own website, all fucking willy-nilly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, and that robot face opening is fucking... It isn't the robot face opening that's creepy as much as its eyes still moving when the face opens. That was fucked up.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did I describe it well when I told you how I'd seen it?
You described it perfectly, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I just love when Bernard is like, respectfully, sir, this sort of thing is fucked.
All right, so all three of us. I don't know why I needed fingers up. Okay, do you think Arnold is a host? Bernard is a host. Sorry, Bernard.
I'm going to say no, just because of how many times they've been like, am I a host or not? And plus, I just fucking like Jeffrey Wright so goddamn much. So I'm going to say human.
All right, Lisa?
I mean, isn't this whole show is going to be human or host the whole time with all of the characters, you know?
Yes. Yes, it is. Please engage in it.
I'm going to say he's a human. They want us to think he's a host. He's human.
See, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I have been holding off on him being a host for a while, because also I didn't like the idea that the Aspie guy ends up being a robot like that.
Yeah. Oh, no. As a guy who's also a little bit on the spectrum, I was like, oh, what are they saying? We're all robots just because we don't know how to interact with other people. Like, that's so fucking great.
Though they have gotten away from that. But in the first episode, when... literally, Therese is getting pissed at him, and he's like, can I record you for my science? Mm-hmm. I was like, this fucking dude. He's shown some more feelings since then, but paradoxically, as he shows more feelings, I'm more okay with him being a robot.
I wish that they would make him so that I want him to be human, but I also want that hair strip to like flip up when he gets scared.
What if it turns out that only his hair is a host?
Yeah. Right. In the future, they have robotic hair.
Yeah. It increases his intelligence and decreases his attractiveness. It's a trade-off he's chosen to make.
Like any good RPG item, benefits and drawbacks.
He has the emotions of a cockatoo.
That does explain why he's constantly eating sunflower seeds.
Yeah, so that is a weird scene. We... also fun. Oh yeah, who are they now? Ghosts, survivors of the wreck of time. Yeah, also the phrase to make him open his face up like the monster in Stranger Things is is turn the other cheek.
Oof.
Which, man, that gives me a very different reading of the Bible.
Oh my God, is Jesus a host?
Obviously. How many? Anyway. What our newer designs gained in efficiency, they lost in grace. Now, maybe there's a version of that word that I don't know, but that seems like a weird way to talk about it. I love that the like biological hosts that are just like humans, they're like, ugh, gross. It was better when they were metal parts, carbon fiber, cool components.
Gears.
Springs.
Pulleys.
they're truly just a bunch of fucking steampunks.
Yeah.
I can't wait until somebody starts wearing goggles and a top hat.
Oh, God.
And then we get more of Ford just straight up lying to Bernard. These are the only ones left in the park that Arnold built himself. And as soon as he goes back, he's like, how many did Arnold build? And they're like, 85. How many were still in the park? 47. Like, don't lie about stuff that's a simple SQL query away.
It's because Ford didn't edit Wikipedia quick enough.
Yeah. Ah, I forgot to hit save.
Oh, no.
I got distracted by looking at the population of Kazakhstan, which it turns out is a made-up country. It doesn't even exist. And then, also, this is the second time where Bernard's been, like, unsure about something, and Ford has been like, hey, remember your dead son? Like, just as a way to throw him off whatever he's doing. Like, it's not even an explicit promise or threat. Like, it'd be more, he's like, hey, maybe we could do this for your dead son or of your dead son. I'm not sure what the pronoun is. But he's just like, remember your dead son? And he's like, fine, I'll leave. Stop getting so weird.
I'm going to call it. Jeffrey Wright is going to have to kill a robot that looks like his dead son.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the second we saw the picture of his dead son.
Yeah, like, he's going to have to fucking hit that shit with a hammer.
Oof.
Yeah.
Every character has dead kids.
We were saying it's a fucking stupid, typical, like, I'm a guy in his late 30s, early 40s who, like, has a TV show now, so I'm going to make it all about, like, kids and, like, dead kids.
Do you know what's the greatest twist of all? A father's love. Ugh, this fucking show.
So stupid. I hate how much I love this show.
How much do you love Lee Sizemore pissing on the map?
A yellow rain falls upon Westworld.
I know that's not what is happening, but I would have loved if they would have cut to inside Westworld and all of a sudden it's like actually raining. You're like, this rain is unseasonably warm.
And would so it... cloudy.
Yeah, and basically he's like, fuck this, fuck all y'all. There wasn't much in his dialogue that meant much. And of course he was introduced to Charlotte Hale, executive director of our board, who was right behind him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, and then he does the classic, oh, no, my dick!
Here to oversee certain transitions in our administration. This feels like the classic, we expect it to mean Ford, but it's actually going to mean Teresa type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where she's like, I've brought this person in from the outside. And then when they get into the actual meeting, Teresa's saying like, okay, let him know. And then she's like, we're letting you go, Teresa. That scene's going to happen in the next episode.
I can't wait.
Oh, if it's terribly written, that's definitely what's happening. We go to Bernard. This is the how many generation hosts are first generation, 80-some, 47 still in rotation, list alphabetically.
Some if of those frame flashlights by frame are it, still
like
in there.
Somebody with no time on their hands and nothing better to do with his life. You'll see that it's Dolores, Lester, Rowdy, Abel, and then the others, the names are obscured.
I'm just imagining like a giant chicken coop full of like little fleshlights on legs.
I like that they wind up, and they have the little feet.
Oh my god, it's like those little like clicky teeth feet things.
This was a terrible first design. We had a small but dedicated user base. The company, alive for decades.
That's right. The man in black was there.
he just walks up and he's like, my old frenemies.
Now we know what the disaster was that happened 30 years ago.
the great fleshlight flood of 2017.
We go from there to the man in black plus Teddy Flood tied to the wheels of the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
They threaten to brand Teddy with the Maze logo. He flashes back to killing men in his own company with Wyatt, which seemed like news to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back to the present and kills fucking everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this was the classic. This was so fucking video gamey when they let you have the Gatling gun for like 2 minutes and then you never get to play with it again for the rest of the game. I'm like, yeah. What's next? Are they going to have to ride around in Jeeps for a level that everybody hates?
Yeah. Bad driving mechanics is one of the worst violations of video games.
Oh, fucking Enter the Matrix, dude. Enter the Matrix.
What was the id game? Rage? Was that what it was called?
Oh, that game I hated that driving. Fucking garbage.
I liked the shooting. The shooting was non-existent.
The shooting was good, and I liked that they had the enemies like walk along walls and shit instead of just coming at you on like a 2D plane.
Yeah, no, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
That part, but...
Nobody likes driving in video games. It's stupid.
It is stupid.
It's like Grand Theft Auto. It's like, can't you just be Grand Theft?
So he mows everyone down with a crank gun. He hits a classic explosive crank. Mm-hmm. I clapped my hands like a seal when I saw that. And Teddy gives the classic, "You don't know me at all."
Because mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. it turns out I was just reprogrammed wirelessly to have more of my backstory.
It's like, finally, somebody gets some more of their canon revealed. Mm-hmm. He's literally revealing canon.
That Gatling gun's pretty amazing.
It is.
I loved it as much as the fart bladder from Game of Thrones.
Those are the year's two greatest technical innovations.
Best props.
We go to Bernard at his desk. And
honestly, this is what pissed me off. In the future, glasses cleaning technology has not improved beyond a cloth.
He's very frugal. He goes to Walgreens, he buys his $2.99 glasses.
Yeah, you just imagine somebody taking one of those fleshlights and wiping their glasses.
No, I could not. I don't understand how that would work. I mean, the chattering teeth would technically work, but they would not clean their glasses. There's a transmitter. This is where we find out there's a transmitter modifying the hosts via the bicameral mind commands. Those were shut down years ago. Well, there's one transmitting now. I'm going to go find it. No, be careful. Click. I'm not going to be careful. I'm going to rush right into danger.
Robert, also, you know it's the future because the flashlight has three lenses on it.
Oh, so futuristic. Triple flashlight. Redundancy. What if you're in a creepy place and one of your flashlights breaks down, as they're wont to do in horror scenarios? You still have two more. As long as they didn't wire them in serial, which they almost certainly did.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course. Robert goes to find Robert and play catch with his childhood self and his childhood dog. Mm-hmm. And they shot his dog.
Oh, no. The kid killed his dog.
Yes, the kid. Yeah. Sorry. Younger Ford killed his dog.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing to do to dogs.
No.
No. Jack is a very cute dog.
I think we all like dogs. Oh, no! You truly are a host.
What if it was a turtle on its back, Lisa?
I wondered why the first thing you did when you walked into my house was snap my dog's neck.
Actually, you should say the first thing I did when I walked in your house.
That is pretty hilarious.
Ivan opens his front door.
I open the front door and I open up for a hug, and my dog walks up, and Lisa goes to pet the dog first.
I hugged the dog first. I was like, and I did a classic fake out, like, I'm going to hug Ivan, turn to the left, hug the dog.
I couldn't be too upset about it because of the incredible timing, but I was very upset about it. Okay.
So I am against dead dogs, for the record, on the podcast. I am against it.
Oh, yeah, you're coming out? That's controversial. That's controversial.
Yeah. The most controversial thing about this scene for me was the dog was named Jock, J-O-C-K.
What a terrible name.
That was the dog's name.
Here's the thing, though. You have to remember, that childhood is probably in, like, 1982.
And it's a greyhound.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's the thing. Right, I mean, I feel like Robert Ford is like our age, like now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he has to be.
He's a millennial. Oh, my God. Anthony Hopkins is a millennial in Westworld. This explains so much.
Do you know how many think pieces we can write now?
It's a greyhound, so that means they adopted it. Because you can't breed greyhounds. You know, they're only race dogs. And then you adopt former race dogs, and they come with weird names. So that's probably what that situation was.
Okay.
I had a greyhound. Remember I had that crazy greyhound that I had to get rid of because it tried to eat my child?
Oh, Oh, yeah, the dog tried to bite your kid's face off.
Yeah, greyhounds, they're, if you ever adopt a greyhound, you're adopting a crazy dog because they've been kept in kennels.
So
yeah, they're totally abused. It's like adopting an orca from SeaWorld. Like, it's going to have some mental issues. Yeah.
It's like adopting a, like, 16-year-old retired Russian gymnast.
It really is.
Who's been kept in a box.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that story.
And that dog went off to have a great life somewhere, we assume.
I sent it back to the agency. We'll just say that. It tried to eat my child.
Oh, you sent him back to the agency? Click. Listen, I saw those gun collections.
All right.
Oh, is the agency a small hole in your backyard?
Back to Jock.
So Jock has been shot, and we go from there to Elsie finding the old theater, which, as is tradition, they found the piece they needed to move the plot forward in the creepiest possible imaginable place.
Yo, if it were up to me, I'd be like, oh, we're not using this creepy abandoned place anymore. Bulldoze this motherfucker. Bulldoze every single place that you're not using at that point.
I'm an evil genius hiding a relay. Where do I hide it? It's under a floorboard. She's getting all the previous users. She's in immediately. Bluetooth pairs instantly.
and the password, Westworld 2.
They're like, oh, getting tricky on this one. We have Teresa smoking, staring into a mirror, as I believe she does in all of her downtime.
Also, when they did the fucking the mirror reflecting in her eyes so her pupils are just squares, I was like, she's a fucking robot. Also, I feel like this is the scene that is truly Red's greatest horror. She puts out her cigarette in a wine glass.
I was so upset by that.
You were so upset. I could tell.
It was one of those things that they do it so often in I feel like it's a very personalized anti-smoking ad. It's like smokers, they ruin alcohol. Never again. It's a disgusting habit full of people putting ash in perfectly good alcohol.
Truly is.
Yeah. These monsters. Bernard's at the door. Mm-hmm. We have another great scene of timing. I found some anomalies. He declines a call, but then answers the second one using the standard do not disturb rules that Apple instituted and stand even to that day.
Wait. You can't. What? You have to explain that.
No, do not disturb. If you call multiple times from the same number, it'll let it through if you call like three times in a row or something.
Huh. Okay.
And you can also disable that if you want to, but that's the default behavior.
Huh. Fair enough.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, because as we all know, if somebody calls three times in a row, they have a very serious emergency or are very drunk.
Either way, you got to pick up.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Either way. He's about to reveal what everything he knows when Elsie calls back and says, "It's her! It's the person you're talking to right now! Also, I'm right behind you."
I'm not on speakerphone, am I?
That would have been great! It's like, don't trust that Danish bitch! Wait, am I on speaker?
Yeah, they should have been on speaker. That's the only way it would have been better. And then he's like, anyway, that's all the information I had for you. Goodbye now. Good day. We have Maeve looking at her D&D settings.
This was totally D&D stats. When they were like, an 18 is the maximum, I was like, these Dungeons and Dragons motherfuckers.
So, cruelty, humility, and meekness are all extremely low. Mm-hmm. She's got middling curiosity and humor, which just seems off character to me.
Yeah, she has good zingers. I feel like this is one of those, like, oh, women aren't funny things.
But yeah, no, literally, they could show you the numbers. This woman isn't funny.
Listen, on a purely numbers basis, women just aren't funny statistically.
Right,
I agree
this
with
one's
that.
A nine.
You're an outlier, right?
Similarly, they also had her at low aggression, which seemed That seems off. Candor, tenacity, courage, sensuality, and charm are all very high.
Yeah,
which seems in character.
Yeah.
Bulk apperception. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a term I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
Have you heard this phrase before?
I have not heard this phrase before.
Apperception, the mental process by which a person makes sense of an idea by assimilating it to the body of ideas he or she already possesses.
Oh, so it's like finding out you're a robot and then integrating that idea into your greater basis.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Also,
bulk apperceptions means you got a discount.
You go to Costco and you pick up them bulk apperceptions.
Yeah, bulk apperceptions means most of it's going to go bad, but it was such a good deal.
I love when they're like, oh, it's not like you're operating an orbital launch facility, when really a whorehouse is an orbital launch facility for dicks.
So true.
Really is.
We have Bernard walking away from Teresa's office, calling Elsie. Someone else is issuing modifications. Best I could tell, it's Arnold. The first time through, I thought she was like, it's Arnold. Mm-hmm. And I very much appreciated that she's like, somebody. So basically, she's saying somebody is logged in as Arnold and is making these changes.
Yeah.
Why we did not archive this fucking user since he's been dead for 30 years, I can't answer. But somebody is logged in as Arnold.
I feel like they should have brought like an actual technical professional in to consult on some of this show at some point.
It's not that bad. I do like that they still have terminals and stuff. Nerds will never stop loving terminals.
They love terminals.
It's the only thing. It's 2016. They still use terminals all the time. I was trying to help somebody with a computer once, and they got so upset that I had downloaded a hacker tool when I opened up a terminal on their computer. It was my favorite. And so she gets upgraded all the way, and yeah. She's going to be incredibly smart in the next episode. We've already covered this.
She's like, let's play Jeopardy, boys.
So Bernard and Ford, I saw a rabbit. Are you lying to me, boy? We found out they could lie to him now.
Yeah.
No, it caught the rabbit and somebody killed it. No, I killed it in analysis. And somebody told me to put it out of its misery. So this just confirms what we already heard. Somebody's broadcasting bicameral phrases to the older robots.
Yeah. And it turns out that the prime directive has been altered and now reads as, just have a good-ass time, y'all.
Feels good, man.
Oh my god, if a robot Pepe comes out, dear god. By the way, if you're listening to this, please just vote for Hillary Clinton. I know that you have a lot of options out there, but you only have one real option, which is, please, vote for Hillary Clinton. Please vote for Hillary Clinton. Please. I don't want to be sent back to a place that I'm not even from and fucking... Listen, if I have to go back to a country that speaks Spanish, I'm just going to fucking kill myself. So please.
You already live in Miami. What's the difference? Oh!
But for real, vote for Hillary Clinton, please. Don't have your fucking...
I don't know why you're talking to this podcast. Literally go outside your door and canvas. You're in the only place in the country that matters.
I had a meme, all right? I think that me and Hillary Clinton have done... very well for each other.
it was listen, I don't bring it up that often anymore, but that was a very popular tweet.
Oh, it's still a popular tweet. Apparently 127,000 notes on Tumblr.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Honestly, I didn't realize Tumblr was still going.
Oh no, it forked a bit. So I have the main Twitter meme, which is around like 34,000 to 35,000. I have the various Facebook editions of the meme, which collectively, yikes, I think that might be like 100,000 shares if you factor in like the Daily Chaos repost and all the other separate reposts. And then you have Tumblr, which is 127,000. So I think I might be at like 400,000 total shares of that meme.
It's the only thing that's given Ivan's life meaning.
She literally one time Lisa came over and I was just obsessively checking the meme and she was like, this is the saddest I've ever seen you.
How close was that dialogue to your opening conversation with your therapist?
I mean, listen, I don't go to therapy anymore.
Oof, it's maybe
not,
you should.
Oh, no, I definitely should. Listen, once I fucking move back to California, I'm going straight up therapy. Hardcore.
Elsie has some great dialogue. She says, what the fuck? Oh, shit. And then she addresses the darkness, which you absolutely should not do when running is an option.
Oh, no. And she was like, Bernard? Arnold?
It was a fun guess. And then arm grabs her. Non Non-specific arm. Arm we don't really know anything about. I say it's security. You're not supposed to be in the zone. Stubbs, is that his name? Hemsworth the Elder?
Stupid. That is the dumbest fucking name.
His name is Ashley Stubbs.
That's the dumbest fucking name. It's almost as bad a name as Hemsworth.
And we can be sure she is alive because they didn't show her die. Mm-hmm. This isn't Game of Thrones. All right, Felix and Maeve. We get her mod and her stats. Loyalty down, pain down. Book at perception, take that all the way to the top. And she's now smarter than anyone in the park, and that will end well. I really think she's going to stick to her job and really try and do better with what she's given.
Honestly, anytime somebody says sweetheart, bad shit's going to go down. That is a word that should just be straight up banned for anybody saying to anybody ever.
Don't you dare say the S word to me.
Exactly. So yeah, that's the episode.
And that takes us all the way to the end. Okay, so thank you for listening. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to be discussing. Oh, yeah, so this week we're going to put up the bonus Patreon episode book club that we recorded a couple weeks ago. So if you're interested in that, that will be on the Patreon feed. You can support us, get all that, get all our Great British Bake Off podcasts, and all of our other exclusive episodes, patreon.com/boyscoreswords. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lisa, for being on the show.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, thank you.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Look for my name and you'll find me pretty much.
Lisa Correo on Twitter.
Yeah. And I'll plug one of my shows. I'm going to be opening for Patton Oswalt again, November 15th at the Irvine Improv.
Yeah, oh, fancy. So check that shit out.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/boysgoreswords. You can find us on Twitter @boysgoreswords. You can find Ivan on Twitter @Ivan_Hernandez.
And you can find Red on Twitter @Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.